So you know how you see those really cool neon signs, like wherever you go?
All over, on Instagram, at weddings, super cool bars, awesome companies, boom.
I want one in my living room right now, and I am going to get it at myneonstore.com because they're offering our listeners a huge discount.
Which means they'll probably give it to you too, Michelle.
I think they should give it to me. So they have a collection of some that are already created, or you get your own custom neon sign, like your last name, or I love Michelle and Christy, or whatever
your
you want to put on it.
Hashtag.
Oh yeah, hashtag. There's free quotes and mock-ups. They have a bulletproof warranty, and it's delivered to your door in as quick as 7 days from the time you pay for it. Plus, they're the only brand that offers a deadline guarantee.
So head over to the website right now, myneonstore.com. At checkout, you're going to enter Big Wedding, all one word, Big Wedding, for 20% off, which can literally be like $400 off and is a massive promo discount that we're offering. We're happy to offer our listeners through myneonstore.com.
Thank you, My Neon Store.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn,
plan that wedding. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. Hi. How are you? All the things. Greetings. Salutations. Do you know what that classic children's book that's from?
Greetings and salutations. No, but my brother-in-law used to say that all the time.
Really?
It drove me, like, literally I'd be like, hi. And he'd be like, greetings and salutations. And I'm like, what are you doing? What is that?
Hi, stop doing that.
Stop doing that.
Charlotte's Web. The first time Charlotte spins down and talks to Wilbur, she says salutations, or it's written, the actual word is written in a web. So for whatever reason, as a vocab word.
I used to
word,
love that book.
Yeah. It really stuck with me. It will, that word will always remind me of Charlotte.
Oh.
And now Charlotte is Julia Roberts' voice because she's the one who played her in the movie.
Oh.
So I
didn't know there was a movie.
Her voice. Yeah, she's pretty good at it.
Do you? This has nothing to do with this episode, but like, would you see a spider in the house? What do you do?
I'm not terrified of spiders or like if I see a mosquito, I did break my own windshield in my car with my own bare hand.
That's right.
Hitting a mosquito. Cause I hate them so much. And the windshield like cracked into 7 pieces.
You're strong.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
I don't like spiders. Since Francesca was born, however, she freaks out if we kill a bug or a spider. So I have learned not to freak out and kill the spider, but rather go get somebody to take the spider outside. I won't do it myself, but if I am by myself, I probably will kill it, but then I feel guilty afterward.
It's a secret murder. All right. So our guests today are, for round 2, a return guest, which means he loves us as much as we love him. The inimitable David Tatera, and joining us for this interview, his husband and business partner in life, all things, as they'll tell you in this episode, partner in the pantry, Joey Toth is joining as well. And this episode stems from our involvement in the David Tatera experience, where Michelle was there in Rhode Island for the last experience, which by the time you're listening to this might not be the last one, but we just think these two gentlemen are lovely. And the reason we wanted to interview them was to follow up on that event. And I guess like put a button on it, right? Like we did this thing.
So this is what I want to say. And I don't know if, I hope we didn't say this during the interview, but I really feel very strongly about this. So you know how you come into contact with someone who for you is celebrity, you know, David Tatera for me is celebrity. David Tatera is someone that in the 20 years I've been in the wedding and events industry, he's a celebrity. He's huge. I watched all of his shows. I've always thought he's like absolutely fabulous. And so when we had the opportunity to have him on, I was really nervous the first time around that we had him on the podcast. And I was so excited that he and Joey invited us to be speakers at the David Tutera Experience. It was such an honor. But what I couldn't, when I got there too, I was like, oh my God, like, I wonder if he's even going to like talk to me, like, or if he'll just, you know, appear when it's time for him to be on stage. Like, how is it even going to be? That man was so awesome. Him and Joey both, like, he talked to all of us. He was joking with me. He gave me a hug the first moment he saw me. And it was just like, oh my God, he is such a nice person. And he's so funny. And he is very handsome. And he's just fabulous. And Joey, you can tell, like, they are just this like perfect match because they're very different. And you could tell they even each other out. And from the moment I met David, he's like the jokester. And Joey's just like, oh God, you know, like rolling his eyes. He's like, Michelle, don't take him seriously. Like, it's just, it's anyway, I was, so when we did speak at the David Tutera Experience and we did this awesome presentation, part of it was that
mostly media,
part of it was that we interviewed David and Joey on the stage and we had microphones and Christy was on Zoom because Christy couldn't physically be there. And we're like, cool, we're going to use the audio from Zoom and we're going to make a podcast episode out of it. But the audio was horrible, everyone. It was so, actually, Christy, your audio was perfect and crystal clear.
From what I heard, like if we were to put this episode out, you would, as our audience, be hearing the way I heard it. The people in the presentation that like the audience, they were fine. They heard it fine. Yes. I heard it fine, but it was kind of like a recording of a recording. So when we got the footage, we knew we couldn't actually make it an episode.
I listened back in the hotel room after the presentation and I was so excited. I was like, my God, we nailed it. It was so much fun. And I listened back to that audio, Christy, and I wanted to cry. Oh. I was so upset. And I like, you know, told David, I'm not gonna be able to use this. Like, and he's like, it's okay. Let's just redo it. Like, we'll redo it. And I'm like, really? And so this turned out even better because we got David and Joey for a full hour, you know, on Zoom, and it was lovely. And so that's how this happened, but it turned into more than what we did on the stage with them. They were very open on this interview.
Yeah. And they're talking about, we always want to make sure that when we do interviews, no matter how interesting we find them or engaging or charming or wonderful, that our listeners are able to take away some pieces of advice and guidance as they plan their wedding, because that's what we are pretty sure most of you are listening for. And those are all the questions that we get. And so the angle in terms of like, how do we ask them questions as a married couple that is also, you know, working together that will help to maybe drop some little aha moments or pieces of advice for our listeners. And it kind of ended up being just that. This is two humans that live together, work together, raise kids together, are in a marriage, are in business, and they're always with each other, which many of us, Michelle and her husband, are both working from home. So that's an example of people who are like newly, or at least in the past year and a half, like, oh, we're both here all the time. How do we do this?
All the
Do we separate time. Work and play somehow? Is there a certain time of the day where you're like, you know what? No more wedding talk now. Only sexy talk or domestic, like what, who's cooking dinner this week and why is the dishwasher still broken? So stuff like that. And we're asking them about boundaries and we're asking them like, how do? They make it look really easy, but we know that that's, it's never really as easy as it looks. So how, you know, does this couple that we admire and respect and know personally make the whole thing work? And within that framework, in that context, I think we got some real gems and we also got to know them a lot better and it was really fun. And I am confident that this episode will be a fan favorite.
Yeah. So thank you, David and Joey. And yeah, let's get to it. Welcome, David and Joey.
Well, hello. We're so happy to be with you both. Hi, Christy. I'm Michelle.
It feels a little less stressful for me this time, even though you all three were together the last time we talked, but I felt very like outside of the, I felt a little bit like the Wizard of Oz.
You were like the Wizard of Oz, and then you froze and it was brilliant.
The way that it was like, hello.
Exactly what you asked for not to happen. The internet made it happen for you.
I'm like sitting in the corner of my bedroom right now on the floor so that I can be like physically cabled into my router again, but that didn't help last time. So I call bullshit on all like CenturyLink, Cox cable, Wi-Fi promises.
When you when she froze, I actually thought she was faking it for a second. I really did. I really thought you were, then I'm like, wow, that's a long freeze. She can't possibly be faking it.
That's less flattering than she probably would have gone with.
It wasn't bad, actually. I was like, oh, good. This is not a real bad, like.
Like the one eye half closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're being really kind. It was bad.
David.
Yeah, she was frozen with a weird face. What goodness can come out of that?
She knows I'm self-conscious about my long Celine Dion face anyway. So the idea of it being frozen where I'm not like animated is a nightmare for me.
It was good. It was a good moment.
Okay.
It was good.
Okay, so at the David Tutera experience, which is also, I mean, it's just an experience. It was it was wonderful. It was great. It was, I mean, a positive experience.
Yeah.
I shouldn't, it was an experience. It was so much fun. It was very heartwarming for me. I felt special and I felt like all of the attendees were so, excited and curious and just everybody was in this really good mood and like wanted to like have fun and learn and be inspired. And I really, really, really loved being a part of it. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with the two of you. You both are super fun and lovely and, you know, all the things. And I feel like what we did on stage was kind of magical. And we've had a lot of listeners, you know, DM us on Instagram and email us like, what did you guys do there? Like, what was it like? And so we feel like by talking to you about it today and just talking to the two of you on a level of, you know, you're a married couple, you work together, you have two children, like, I feel like you guys are probably together all the time.
Yes.
For and better I feel, or worse.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Yeah, that's what you said.
We are together all the time. Yes.
The work-life balance, we feel like, is really interesting for our listeners who might be working with their partner for the first time, in that they're planning a wedding together, and that can feel like project management, as you know. So we want to pick your brains about that and your personal experiences in life. But first, just for everybody that's listening that has heard us kind of talk about the David Tutera experience, but not in the context of like what the like main goals for you guys in hosting and producing it, I would love to hear so we can kind of catch everybody up.
Sure. I mean, we've created this wonderful environment The experience started now, this would be 6 years ago. This is our sixth DTE. And it's morphed into something far beyond just being in the industry to elevate themselves professionally as, you know, as having a great career and learning how to be better at what they do and be able to be more profitable and learn how to be a better expert in our industry. But it's sort of, Joey and I have really allowed to open up the doors to educators that are not in the industry intentionally. I think if you spend 2 days learning how to be a great event planner and designer and, you know, vendor, it could be sort of repetitive. But what myself and my husband, we've done so brilliantly is we have curated really a phenomenal selection of educators over the course of all these years. And I think we did the best, this one last one that we did in Newport, Rhode Island. We brought people in that motivated, got you to your knees and cried, made you laugh, made you understand you're not perfect, made you realize that there's changes that can happen that can literally uplift you and bring you into a place that you're not even aware you can be or should be. And myself and Joey both are keynote speakers. We come from very two perspective spaces, and our attendees leave just filled with like joy and love and excitement and energy and positivity. And when we let them go, it's like we're letting our children leave and then going off to, we use this analogy, Joey, because we're going through this right now, is we're sending them off to their first day of school.
Why?
It's pretty amazing.
Fly away.
Do it. Yeah.
You know, it's not, I think the experience that we curated is truly an experience. It's not that you sit there and you're told what you need to do. You need to do this better. You need to do that better. It's not somebody that's up on stage bragging about how fabulous they are and how fabulous their life is. It's a very real experience of people sharing their real experiences to inspire those sitting in the audience to drop some of their baggage, to drop some of their BS that they carry around or that they put up as their face of like, this is who I am and pretending to be someone not, and inspiring the attendees that come to be themselves, but to fully like show up and be yourself and don't be scared of it. And don't, you know, say, oh, it's not me. And so it's a really, it's, I think that's why it's magical being there and connecting with the people and the attendees. And they're so alive because they start dropping these curtains or drapes or walls or whatever you want to call them. They start dropping their guards and just showing who they actually are. And it's a beautiful thing.
And Joey, you bring up, I think the perfect word is magical, because it really is that. And sometimes we're working so hard to create these beautiful evening events and curate these wonderful educators on the stage that magic happens upon us that we're not even aware is happening, because it's just, you know, integrated with one another. And you see this explosion legitimately happen. And I know that, you know, you being there also made a big difference, because you know, you brought a different perspective as the podcast girls. I mean, you know, you're coming from a different side of the equation. And I on the last note of what the experience is that everyone shows up and wants to learn, but everyone doesn't realize that everyone's at a different level. And it's not just where you are in the level of your expertise. It might be where you are personally and emotionally. And you don't all leave at the same level either. Mm-hmm. You're taking home with you what you choose to bring with you back. And Joey always says, you know, leave the suitcase and the bags behind, all that junk that you don't need. Hopefully they left all that in Newport and now they've moved home and they're back in their world and they've got a new set of fashion, a new set of tools, a new set of, you know, intel that they can be better at what they do, feel better about who they are. That's what we focus
on. Different things land with different people depending on where you're coming from and where you're going after it, like what your goals were when you got there. But from my end, I was nervous for Michelle doing the presentation by herself, because we've both been on stages a lot and it can be intimidating. And then, you know, this was like thrown last minute. So I remember thinking how grateful I was that whatever had happened the 2 days before she got on stage was clearly very engaging. I think that like is a huge part of this experience. It's not thousands of people. So every person there feels, from what I saw, very engaged. So I knew she was walking out on stage to an audience or to a group of people that were already like on board and like ready to be positive. It wasn't like, you know, like, okay, what do you have? Like, come out and show us something now. I think that's a testament to you too. If you expect your attendees to be engaged and like you said, Joey, like drop all their walls and curtains to be there just for 2 or 3 days, then you too have to as well. And that seems like a huge reason why people come back time after time, because there's a connection and a level of engagement with you two that feels like it propels them forward somehow.
Thank you. Yes, we work very hard on that. And I appreciate you for appreciating that and understanding it too.
I think people are inspired by you two, maybe a little bit like, oh, David Tatera, like I have talked to him or I've been in this room at first, but then it goes past that into these two people who are hosting us as you are as a couple, make people feel connected to you. So I don't know. It just seems like you're making it look awfully easy to be two individuals who work together and are doing life together as well. Yeah, can't always be that easy.
It's not
always that easy, but you know, part of where we pull our strength from for this is from the stuff we get up on stage and talk about.
Yeah.
You know, after the experience just last week, I hopped onto Facebook Live to just share one of my stories, which was tied directly to what I shared to the attendees that they should be doing. I did it, and then I had great success from it. And so I want to share my excitement and my joy with them. And so it is just having real connections and real engagement that you care about. And you know, that starts, I think, with David and I, and that starts also just in how we operate together as our business, as a family, that we actually do care about each other. We do understand that it's not always easy, that it's okay to disagree, that we're going to have hard times, we're going to have good times. And that's the thing to any partnership, is having a realistic expectation, I think, that, you know, we do want happy-go-lucky all the time, but it's not going to quite happen. So have this realistic expectation that things are going to be thrown at you. Deal with them. Deal with your partner when they throw something at you that you don't necessarily like to hear or that challenges your thought process. Be open to it and try to at least see other perspectives.
That's and really Michelle, hard to do.
Yeah.
In our talk that we put together and Michelle presented was about like when you get onto Zoom meetings or these first meetings that like you just shake off whatever you came with and you've got 1 hour and like put your best foot forward. And we do that all the time, but I was curious because I know you two are working at these events or anything that you do, it's technically work, but you still have to like, hi, welcome, bring it in. Like you still have to be friendly and happy, as you said. So I'm wondering if you two have like a little, I don't know, what if you get in a disagreement or like you're super stressed, like literally right before the bus is opening for people or the doors are opening, like, do you have a little like, all right, we're going to circle back, but for now, hey, give me a kiss. Like, is there something that is like a,
I don't think we have something to do. You know, it's interesting. Joey and I have our challenges, you know, when we disagree at home and we work from home and we deal with it here. Like me not being able to get on this call right away because I couldn't figure out how to do it. And then I had to get him and then he had to come over here. And I was like, don't yell at me. I know I could do this. And he told me, I'm not yelling at you. I'm trying to help you.
Sure.
So like we have that dialogue.
Meeting invites next time.
What's that?
Just accept meeting invites
next time. I know, I don't do that. I'm not good at that. So I apologize for having to bring you over here to my side of the office to help me. But I don't want to say when we're in show mode, because that sounds like we're showing off, but when we're working on DTE or any project in person, we have a really great cadence together and it's not thought through. I don't think we've ever had an argument, a challenge or an issue in front of people. But we kind of know how to kind of click real quick, figure out how to make it work and happen and move forward. We'll talk about it later. But I don't think, Joey, we've ever had that experience in a situation that was public when we're trying to show a persona of how to be calm and professional and be present. And we, what we do, which I don't think many people probably realize until you just brought this up, is that we are hosting. Mm-hmm. We are having to be there for them at every question, at any moment, all the time. When we walk downstairs to get coffee in the lobby, we have to say hello. They have a question. When we try to go to use the restroom, we have to stop and we have to answer another question. There might be things that they're concerned about. Some people are emotionally wanted, they want a shoulder. So we're on 24/7. And what's interesting is when we arrived back from Newport this last DTE, Joey and myself, I think it took us over a week and a half to recover emotionally and physically. Mm. And not because we had a hard time doing it. It requires so much of our heart, our soul, our mind, our physicality. And we realized, well, we really do put so much into this, mm-hmm. in producing it, but then also putting it together in, you know, live.
Right.
I love it. I when we're done, I always say, "Could we do this again?" So we'll do it again because
every 3 months, and then I said, "No, maybe not."
I noticed that, David, and sorry, Joy, to cut you off, but I have to tell you, when I every night, especially the evening events, I don't even know how many photos that you all took with people. I don't even know how many hugs you got. I don't know how many, like, you. I would see you both like engaging in conversations with individuals. So what looked like very deeply. And I thought to myself and people I was sitting with thought, we were like, that has got to be so draining on them. Like, but how wonderful and lovely. And I'm sure you love it and enjoy it as you're doing it. But I almost asked you, Joey, when you first hopped on Zoom, like, are you recovered yet? Like,
yeah. Did you sleep for a week straight?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we just recovered, Joey, right? Like we're literally
just recovered. But I mean, yeah. It's that whole thing. And just, we have to show up open for what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we take it all in. It is a huge emotional exchange and, you know, drain in some areas, but it's also an emotional fulfillment too, of seeing that excitement, like that you were talking about, Michelle, of that you see these people that are bubbling and so excited and have so much energy that it shares back to us to help propel us through it.
Mm.
But then when it's all said and done and we get back on the airplane and hop home, yeah, it's exhausted for a while.
But we do disagree. I want to make it really clear that we're not like this perfect couple, that we get along and everything goes as we expected. I mean, right before we got onto this call, we're jumping on another call to already talk about the production of Jamaica for DTE. And we were having a little tiff about something, because I'm like, no, I don't think we should do it this way. But he's like, no, but if we do it this way, it'll work better. And I'm like, well, no. So, and then we had to stop because we had to get on with you. So we will pick that conversation up that we didn't finish after this call, but it's nothing bad. It's just that we come from, you know, we have two different perspectives, and it always winds up being that we mash them together and they brilliantly work.
So we hear from so many couples, you know how it goes when people are planning their weddings. I'm sure the two of you even experienced this, although it's different, but there's so much emotion involved. There are so many disagreements, right? And oftentimes, and Christy, I think you've put this really well, is like, this is really, for some couples, the first time they actually, quote, work together on a project, right? Yeah. This, you know, planning a wedding is very totally project management. And in many cases, it's the first time a couple is going to work together on such a big project. And we always say, it's just like, it's, you know, the wedding is really the gateway into the marriage. Like, if you think this is tough.
Yes. We do say that a lot. Sometimes I wonder if we say it too much. Like, don't stress out about wedding planning.
They need to be reminded.
Across the country and having no money and being pregnant. You know, the big stuff happens later, but it helps to keep people grounded. But it can still be jarring. Like, I'm doing this. You said you would do this. Now we lost the DJ because you didn't sign the contract on time. And I thought you were going to get a bonus and you didn't. And now we can't afford the floral chandeliers that I wanted. And people start to figure out that they maybe don't work as well together as they thought they would, you know, in like lovey-dovey land.
Yes. And if I was to give a percentage on that, I would say the percentage is much higher with the difficulties between couples than it is more successful in the planning of a celebration like a wedding. I mean, it's a lot. No one has given them a handbook and said, here's the handbook they've gotten. Emotional handbook is like, I've fallen in love with you. You've asked me to get married. I said yes. And now we have to plan a wedding. That's about as far as the handbook takes them. And then all of a sudden now they're given a blank Bible with no pages and no words on it and saying, okay, what do I do to throw a wedding? And then they go enter the world of wedding planners. And I would say 50% of the wedding planners don't know what they're doing. So then, you know, if they get lucky, they get someone really great that can not just mastermind a brilliant party that represents them, but also helps them with their budget and helps them with the details and also keeps them grounded and keeps them sane and allows them to have fun. That's the trick to a great planner. Can you have fun? Can they have fun? I mean, I don't have to have fun, but I do have fun doing it, but they have to have a great time. If they're not having a great time planning their wedding, there's absolutely give all the money back. Or get all your money back, I should say.
Yeah.
And stop playing the party and go do a little party somewhere else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your other golden nugget right in there, David, for everybody, whether you have a planner or you're doing it yourself, was stay grounded. Mm. So like if the couple themselves, if they can just stay grounded in the fact that we're getting married because we're in love and we see a life together. So when these disagreements and things come up or changes happen, if you can stay grounded in what you're actually doing, that you're getting married because you love each other and want to create a life together. This celebration, this ceremony doesn't change that love. Yes, you want to be pretty, you want to be magical and all memorable and everything. But if you don't have that floral chandelier because you didn't get the bonus, it's not the end of the day.
Right.
You know?
One partner has to remind the other partner of that. Sometimes they don't have a planner or like a third party that can be like, whoa, not a crisis. We're still going to get married and have a great day. But when it's them kind of bringing each other back to reality, I think there can be, you know, there's days where couples just don't talk to it. It's like, I can't even do this with you anymore. Like, forget it. And we've talked about like, maybe take a planning break. Don't just talk about wedding planning for an entire year. You guys on board with that?
Absolutely. I agree. 100%.
The other thing is, I think then they get in this fight and then one of them's embarrassed to come back to the other and just be like, do you know what? That was silly. And they need that permission to be okay to just laugh at themselves and to go back to the partner and just laugh at themselves and be like, I'm so sorry that we went down this
that
road.
That was ridiculous. Sorry about that.
And just owning it. You know, it's that fear of just being vulnerable, but realize that you're marrying this person. So they're going to know everything about you and they hopefully will start to know more and more and be with you for everything. So just be open to be like, oops.
You know, I learned a lesson several years ago when I was, and I still do speaking appearances when they come back to life. I have more coming up, but on a stage in front of hundreds and sometimes thousands of soon to be couples getting married, right? So they're there for knowledge now from a planner like myself. One of the very first questions I started asking years ago, which is fascinating, is what's the one word that you can think of when you're planning your wedding? What's the one word that you both believe is an important word for your planning of your wedding? A girl will go, my dress. Somebody will go, my cake. Somebody will say, bottom of the flowers, you know, chandelier flowers. And I'm like, guys, it's four letters. And they're all, then you hear silence amongst this massive space of people. No one answered the word right. The word's love. It's about love. It's not about the chandelier, the cake, or all the other details. And they all, it's funny because collectively you hear this like a sigh that they've all skipped over what was so important. And now they're focusing on all the materialistic things, which is important because you want to create a wedding, but they're forgetting that they're there for that very simple word, love. Four letters, very simple description. And I think it opens up their mind and makes them realize we have to do this with the connection of love.
Yeah.
So
it's why it started.
Yeah.
And if you do it right, it'll still be there when the wedding is over. And then the next day you're looking at each other like, oh, right. We said we were going to be partners forever. that's a much bigger thing than some contracts and some, you know, moving some money around and trying to figure out all those decisions. Like, it's the forever part. It's the commitment. It's the ceremony. It's the reason for that you're even having the party, but it does get buried under all of the to-dos.
It gets buried under our society pressures of, well, I have to, it's a wedding. Everyone's mm-hmm. coming. They expect to see this. And so it's all of that that we make up in our head of, then what do people expect to see? And you get so far away from that four-letter word of love. That's when what they expect to see.
When was your wedding?
Ours was April of 2017, April 1st, actually. Everyone thought we were joking, but we weren't. April 1st, 2017.
And in the planning process, I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
I'll never plan my own wedding ever again. I'm just letting everyone.
Well, I hope not.
No.
How was the planning process?
Don't worry, I'm not going to.
Wait a minute. Joey's like,
yeah.
What the hell is that supposed to mean, David?
I wish that I'll speak as a singly right now with not Joey's input for a moment, is that we had a very specific agreement. We said we want to do a really beautiful wedding that was going to be smaller. It was probably, I think, Jerry, what we said, like 60, 70 guests.
Yeah.
And then somehow the you know, media took over, PR came in, people wanted to know what we were doing. So I jumped off of that 70 person ship and jumped into, you know, a cruise liner. And we wound up with over 300
Did
people.
Did Joey stay on the 70 person ship?
And he was like, he would have preferred on the smaller one. And quite frankly, I should have stayed on that smaller ship with him, but we were getting it from different areas. We were getting it from TV, networks, people, PR, publicists. And I just thought that, this is what we're supposed to do. So then we had this wedding of 300 plus people. It was a massive, spectacular wedding. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful and epic. We don't feel like we did anything wrong with it. But you go back and you go, oh, that's like 150 people there. I don't even like those people. Mm. Like, I don't even know those people or like them or would want to ever see them again.
Where did you run into conflict? Like, was there a point where it kind of shifted and there was some conflict with the two of you? Or did you just go with it, Joey?
Really, our planning process, we didn't have conflict between the two of us. We stayed focused on, we were getting married. We were getting married because we wanted to create this life together, grow our family. We had Cielo's already born and our daughter, and we wanted to have our family grow and have a second child. We stayed connected in that vision, and this party element was just that we were throwing a party to celebrate our love, our wedding, and all of that. When the whole element and idea of the wedding did shift, the one good part that came out of that, where my focus went, was, well, now instead of going to a destination, we're going to stay in Los Angeles. We're going to do our wedding then at our church, which was a whole nother great story, because we actually got to be the first, you know, same-sex couple to walk down the aisle of a 100-year-old church.
Wow.
So, and we love the our Reverend Kathy there, because she's just such a sweet, all-inclusive person, amazing person. So we got to have her. So for me, it was, you know what? I get somebody that inspires me to marry us. So I'm good. I'm cool.
Seems like even though the wedding itself like blew up beyond what you initially thought you were doing, that the focus stayed the same. I mean, you stayed grounded in that, like, this is what we want to do. We know we want to do this. We want this life together. But also it's like a little bit of a lesson in, I think, from what I'm hearing, like kind of saying yes, you know, that old improv, like just say yes, like just go with it. Like see the things that are going to be positive in this shift and move towards them, like run towards delight. Like you can, it can look different than you originally thought, which for all of our listeners is a great thing to hear or be reminded about, because 2020 and 2021 and 2022 is just a crazy time to plan a wedding. And so maybe you need some reminders that like, it might not look like what you thought it was going to look like a year ago, but there's good in every option, because the finish line is you're marrying the person you really love and want to spend your life with. So how can it be a slog? You know, it's going to be great no matter what. And you might have to shift your perspective, but you can say yes and go with it.
I agree. I keep trying to remind everyone in the business, and mostly consumers who are getting married, you're in love. You found the person you want to get married to. Stop rushing right now. If you have to fit yourself into a Tuesday night because everyone's booked on every other night and you don't like Tuesday night, or you can't get the venue that you wish that you had wanted to get, just wait 6 months, wait 1 year. You know what? It'll be better because you'll enjoy it more. And I'm listening to people in our industry, and I'm listening to couples who are suffering through not being able to find vendors and venues. And why? Just chill, go on a great vacation, you know, and celebrate yourselves together somewhere unique, and then let the wedding happen when the wedding feels like it's going to be real, even more celebratory, as opposed to like, check this off my list. We're done. We got married. Now we can move forward. That's mm-hmm. not what it's supposed to be right now. So I know it's not what we want it to be right now, but it's going to be happening soon when you'll be able to really enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm. We hear from a lot of listeners of couples planning their weddings that maybe not the couple themselves are having friction, but rather the family dynamics, right? The mothers, the wedding party, the siblings. It seems that everyone out there is having some family drama. And it all comes to the surface when you're planning a wedding. So
I could spend a 3-hour podcast on this. I should probably do one with you because 30 plus years of doing events and a lot being weddings, I would say that 75% out of the 100% of weddings, something comes up. Mm-hmm. There comes an issue. Sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes it's very easy to fix and get involved. I tend to get in it with the clients to help them. Sometimes it's almost impossible. Sometimes I feel like I'm being thrown into a boxing ring and I don't have the gloves that I want to get out because it's just not my thing to get involved, but I try because I care. And that's what we do as planners. We care, sometimes often too much, but yeah, I think dynamics of family, you're bringing two strange families together. You know, the couple know each other really well. And sometimes the families are meeting for the really first time when they're beginning to really plan this wedding. And crazy stuff happens. And sometimes it's not the kindest of things I've seen. And sometimes it's the craziest things that I've seen, which provide me a plethora of, you know, stories to share, which sometimes are fun to share because they're just someone else's life. But at the end of the day, it's really not how the wedding is supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be loving and kind. And you're supposed to remind your family members, please stay out of this if this is going to cause friction.
Yes.
But, you know, people are jealous in families, and people are, you know, maybe it's an older sister that the younger sister is getting married and she's jealous that she's not getting married. Or, you know, there's so many different forms of what causes these issues. But as you know, as both planners and us as being involved with people's personal lives, we have to step in and try to soften the environment. We may not fix it, but we may be able to help it.
Do you ever come home like at any point dealing with clients, specifically when you're like in it with them, and tell Joe, like, I'm asking this because my husband and I are as opposite as you can get. And so at first in our marriage, that wasn't too helpful because we were butting heads a lot. But after 12 years, like, I will seek his opinion out because it is different than mine, or his take is, he's going to say something that I'll be like, oh, now I see, because I would not have thought about it that way. Like, do you, David, ever, you know, regale Joey with this situation or whatever? Because you two seem like you have a lot in common, but you also seem very different. So yes. Do you depend on each other to kind of open up the perspective of like, that's actually not right, but he can help you?
Absolutely. I will go to Joey and say, oh my gosh, I have this situation and these people are insane. And I don't know what, I mean, I can think of so many so quickly right now, but I'll say, what do I do about the way they're asking me to do something that I know is impossible, or they're disagreeing? And he'll have an answer. His perspective comes from a completely different place. You know, me being ingrained into weddings and events for 30 plus years, you know, I go to automatic pilot, and he comes from a different perspective that he sees something with a little bit different clarity. And it does help, because I would never have come from that place because I'm not him.
Right.
But yes, I would definitely go to Joe. I don't think I'd go to anybody else but Joey. He'd be the only person I would ask.
But that's a strength that we have between us, I think, is that we have the different perspectives. And so just like what you shared, Christy, it's understanding that if you and your partner are opposite, that's a good thing if you use it the right way.
Right.
You know, if you can use it.
It takes some time.
Yeah.
You know, to figure that out.
Yeah. But being open to that, because Dave, I can go to David too and just ask him perspective on something that I wrote and say, do you understand what I put out here? Like, nope, yeah. Way too high level. You need to break it down and add X, Y, and Z to it. So
I think a lot of couples work with that dynamic of like the big picture person and the details person, or the like realistic, even Michelle and I, to a certain extent, like big ideas. I want to like all the things. And then the other partner is like, let's consolidate into small boxes the millions of things you just dumped on the table so that I can actually understand and we can make some decisions. But that tension can sometimes feel like one partner's like Debbie Downer a little bit in the relationship. Like,
that's her.
I'm always giving you ideas and you're always saying no. But that is the like, that is with Michelle and I, like she's big idea and you I'm nuts and bolts.
I'm up here.
No, you, oh, it's sometimes you sort of, you know, you'll cut me, you know, you'll sort of slow me down on things because I want to take a race to the finish line to get something done beautifully. And he's like, okay, let's just pull it back a bit, let it breathe, let it sit.
One thing at a time, maybe.
You know, I'm not a good one thing at a time person at all. No, he's good at one thing at a time. I want to do 20 things at one time and get all 20 things done at the same time.
Yes, that's Michelle. I mean, it's the same, I think, as business partners, but also couples that are in love and like doing life together, that's a natural way that we fit together. Like one person is the like, go, go, go. And the other person might be like, hey, let's smell the roses or let's finish one thing before we start the other. And I know with my husband and I, that dynamic has always been there. We just haven't been as in tune with each other as we are after many years of marriage. Like it was conflict before and now it's like balance. Oh my gosh. Somebody write that down. It was conflict before and now it's balance.
Well, this is being recorded so we can listen back.
Because sometimes I say things that later I'm like, that was really smart, Christy.
I know. Sometimes I'll listen back to our episodes and be like, oh, damn, Christy, that was freaking amazing. That was like brilliant.
Thank
or
you,
or
Michelle.
Me, I'll be like, did I say it? Did I say that?
Was that you?
Post that just needs to go up. Bam.
Hey, Joey, what's your sign, your zodiac sign?
Scorpio.
What month is that?
November. Oh. November 19. Yeah.
Okay. And David, what are you?
I'm a Taurus, April 23rd.
I'm a Taurus too.
Oh, what's your birthday?
April 20th. So I'm right on the cusp.
Or you're on like Aries cusp. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm a Taurus, two moon Taurus is what I was told. So basically I'm the version of Taurus twice.
Do you guys have like a spiritual, I mean, you mentioned that your pastor, the person, the woman that married you is very important to your life and is very inspiring. Do you have a, I guess, like a spiritual routine as a family or between the two of you that like feeds anything? I mean, do you see a psychic?
It would be very helpful, Joey, if we had that, I think.
Joey, can you get on that?
We listen to the Debbie prayer every night. We do that subconsciously, so you don't even realize it, but that's our spiritual thing that's connecting us.
You do have the Debbie prayer on it.
Yeah, it's on for 8 hours. So
what is that?
It's just a, we actually walked down the aisle, or no, that was playing before we walked down the aisle. It's this cool Indian prayer just about connecting back to earth and everything around you. It's just low-key music in the background, so we fall asleep to it. And it's on all throughout the night on YouTube.
Mantra, like you said, right? Okay.
Our daughter listened to it. Cielo listened to it while she was a little child. And then one day we were in the car and like, she's singing like Indian Sanskrit. Like what she memorized, what she heard in her sleep, which was so awesome.
Yeah.
But it's something that calms us down. At least it
good.
It calms us down.
Our house is also set up somewhat like that. You know, we have our little Buddhas here. We have, you know, just some calm places around the house. So that's being around here, but we find calmness sometimes too.
With working, I asked you this on stage too, but I think it was helpful. And I want our listeners to know with working together, living together, a lot of work is at home, traveling together, just always being together. Would you say you have like, physical boundaries or time boundaries. I think I might have asked on stage, like, hey, it's 8 p.m. so no more talking about work. No, you
can't. Let me tell a story. I told this story on stage, but I'm going to give you a second version of the story. So real quickly, the modification of the first one was, we have a little pantry off the kitchen, and we were making coffee, and all four of us and our two dogs were in the pantry. And I said to Joey, this is ridiculous. Our two daughters, myself, my husband, Teddy and Lucy, our dogs, are all in the pantry. I mean, we're like, it's not like we have a massive home, but we have enough space, right?
And the pantry is 4x4.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's tiny pantry. So fast forward, it might have been two nights ago, we have a big walk-in shower. We have to get the kids to sleep at night, get them bathed and ready to go. We hadn't taken a shower all day. We kept our underwear on, and all four of us took a shower together. And I thought, first of all, it's adorable.
Yeah, that's cute. That's really cute.
I'm like, we have multiple rooms that people can get ready in. And I'm thinking to myself, here we are again. It's the pantry story, but in the shower.
So the answer is no, there's not a physical.
The answer is 100% no.
It's not like if Joey were to like ask you a question while you guys are brushing your teeth about the event that's coming up in Jamaica, you would be like, hey, it's not even 9. I haven't had coffee. Don't talk to me about work.
No, he won't do that. I will. I'll be the one asking the question.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference.
But actually, I have asked David a question like that before, and you have been like, I just woke up.
How old are the girls? Is Gracie and Cielo, right?
Gracie and Cielo. Yes. Cielo's 8 and Gracie's 2.5. She'll be 3 in January.
Oh boy. That's a tough age.
Oh, she's so fun.
Oh, she's easy.
Oh, amazing.
She's easy.
Easy breathing. They both are easy. Well, Cielo's older at 8. A little
now, she's 8. Now she feels
it. Now she's a little spicy.
Is she spicy?
Yeah.
I love it. And my kids are, the day before I just turned 14.
Oh boy.
Oh, wow.
And it's just amazing. I love it. Hey, Joey, I'm curious. You teach yoga, and I did not make it to the yoga classes. They were very early for me because I was up late every night.
She drinks a little.
I drink a little.
Party nights.
I make Christy stay out when we're traveling. What is your background, Joey?
Corporate America for a long time. I was in banking. I started my career. When I was 16, I never wanted to have a traditional working fast food or whatever. I wanted a real job. And so I started right in banking. That was my first job. I was going to be a lifer there, but then I found commercial real estate, went into that. And I was in corporate commercial real estate for many years. And then one of my last conferences I went to in commercial real estate, I went to a yoga class for the very first time, never did it, but I was, in New York City, snowy day, nothing else to do. So I went down there. I was like, this thing's kind of cool. All right. And then just as things progressed, I wound up running another company, just doing the business world and doing the business world well, but it was not fulfilling and very stressful and taxing. I got an opportunity to run a holistic weight loss and wellness franchise and just connected me into a whole different side of life and the world and everything else, and went into life coaching and just found a real connection to my passion away from what I was, good at, in quotes. But I found this connection to my passion through yoga, through life coaching and all of this stuff that I really enjoyed immensely. And then when David and I met, and after, we were together for many years and then got married, then I was actually going down a whole nother road. I was going to continue that road and go in and do pediatric occupational therapy and help little kids. But then there was this opportunity here to come together and work. And I looked at our family dynamics and what the two different careers would mean. The one career would mean I'd be tied to an office for 60 or 80 hours a week, wouldn't be able to travel with as a family that well. And yes, it would be fulfilling on that side personally for this, but I would miss fulfillment for my family side. So we had really interesting conversations back and forth. And I decided that there was a way to still connect my passion for working with people, seeing good, seeing, things being created and making a difference, with the work that, you know, David's done through his company, both through just events and seeing the celebrations and the joy that you create through events, but also then the other opportunities that we started to build, like the experience and being able to actually help people, help business professionals see themselves in a whole nother light and lift them up. And so it was a cool journey to just kind of come into now this event world and this event space, be able to be creative, but then still take the background of what I did good, you know, from the corporate world and then bring it in here and blend it all together into just a cool thing.
That's brilliant, actually. David, so whose idea was the David Deterra experience then? Because it seems like this marriage of yours mm-hmm. actually birthed this.
Yeah. It feeds both of your best passion.
I want to go back to I did have to interview Joey to see if he was a good fit for the company here. So his first interview was mediocre to best. And then I gave him some notes and I'm only kidding.
He had a clipboard.
I was looking for your eyebrow. Well, what did you say, Joey? Was it his left eyebrow that twitches when he's messing around?
I'm only kidding. My husband is so brilliant, and I say that with honesty. He's smarter than I am, and he's very capable of doing the things I can't do. And it's a great combination. And yes, it did build out of our relationship, DTE. Blossomed. And I think it was one day we talked about it and said, what can we do with all the knowledge that I have from an industry that I've been in so long? Mm-hmm. Because I'm all about sharing and elevating when there's so many people in the industry that just don't want to tell anyone anything or help them. So we came up with a little concept, teeny little concept in Los Angeles. And, you know, we always believed it was about, keeping it small and intimate, like you said earlier. And we expanded a little bit more each year, but we're not looking to do this 400 person conference because that would not allow us to give to our attendees what we want to give mm-hmm. them. So we did that together. And I think Joey and I are very proud of the things that we do. We have the mentorship program that we built during COVID, which is the opportunity for people online through Zoom to be part of a 12-month program to, again, understand it's not as emotional, this program. It's more tactic, it's more content, it's more driven based upon what you need to do to run your business and how to sell and how to make profit. And it's been really another project that we created that we're very proud of because, again, it's elevating the industry.
It seems like you carved out ideas and then like kept going with like what you both as individuals can offer, like what are the best parts of ourselves that we can offer people, and then how do we put those together into an experience or a mentorship program. Like I'm a lister, so when I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, they both sat down and like listed out, this is what I can offer, this is what I can offer, this is what I can do, this is what I can do, and then like how do we put those things together, which is, you know, those kind of conversations where they're not filled with conflict or difficulties, but they are big conversations. Joey, I don't know which career I'm going to go for. Like, I don't know about having a family and having this demanding career. I mean, these are conversations that people have after weddings a lot of times, sometimes before, but like, we try to remind our listeners that like the big things happen after the wedding. The wedding is a party. These bigger conversations, like having kids, religion, relocating, careers, midlife crisis, like money issues.
Yeah.
People need to know how to talk to each other about those. And I think wedding planning is an opportunity to learn a little bit about your partner and how to communicate and take some of the things that you learn in that project management process into a marriage so that you're a little better prepared for these bigger, dare I say, conversations of like, well, what are we doing with our lives? Do we want to have another baby? Like what, you know, how is this all going to work? It just seems like people don't think about that enough.
A lot of couples don't communicate. They simply don't. They think they do. They do. They think they do because they're thinking in their head that they're having this conversation, and then they're scared to have a bigger conversation with their partner. And, you know, and not to brag about my relationship with my husband, but we actually have conversations. You know, we may not and not agree on many of them, but we sit and we get through it and we argue, we get past it, but we don't throw it all under the rug, and we don't certainly throw it in the closet and walk away. We were, you know, dealt with a big thing this week personally. So, and we did it brilliantly. And I said to my husband last night, I said to Joey, I am so proud of us as parents right now, because we did this together. We figured out how to be, which we typically are, on the same page. Mm-hmm. And we bounce back and forth. If you're in a relationship and you're learning this from being engaged and going into a wedding and moving forward in life, and you're dancing to two different songs in two different directions, that's only going to wind up in the wrong place. So figure out the beat, figure out the right song to dance to, which is my analogy of talking, you know, talk, speak, ask questions. Don't have to agree.
Listen.
Disagree. Yeah. Listen. Yes. It's important.
I think that like the wedding planning process can just be the training wheels. It's the training wheels for all your future conversations, your disagreements, your working together. You know, it's about in the wedding planning process, being able to really speak without being scared to speak to your partner. This is what I would like to see. And your partner might not like that. Mm-hmm. Being okay with hearing no, or that's a stupid idea. Or because when you say it, at least you might also find out that they're going to say, actually, I was scared to say that. I want that too.
Right.
Which I think that's the kind of magic that sometimes goes totally missing, because one partner's scared to say something else. The other partner's possibly scared to say that same exact thing. And so it never gets said. So something else is created.
Yeah, that's what you mean about your, they think they're communicating, but they're not really. And yeah. I also just run a poll really quickly, but I know we're going to wrap up in a second. When you said, I'm really proud of us, like acknowledging pride with your partner is such a positive. I just love that. My husband and I try to do that. We didn't always. So just to say, like, turn to your partner and be like, hey, I'm really proud of us that we just XYZ, or that we came to, you know, that here we are. So I love that you mentioned that and that you speak that way to each other. And I think that's a great thing for couples to remember to acknowledge that as well.
Joey.
Yes. Yes.
I say, David, I did a good job. Did I do a good job? He doesn't say it. Did I do a good job?
David, you're one of the funniest people I know.
Aww.
We love when I say that one. No, you did a good job. And you know, I think that we really work hard at that. And I don't even know that it's working hard at this point anymore, but just being conscious of it, of acknowledging when things are good, acknowledging when they aren't so good, and just being real, you know? So like after our wedding night, we were so exhausted, so tired, but at the end of the night, it was that look at each other of, we did this thing, and this thing, this party was beautiful. We said, I do, which was the whole goal of the whole day. It was amazing. And yes, David, you did a great job planning it. It was a beautiful.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about planning it. This was a whole generic overall arc of everything.
Yeah, he's just going to keep that piece of paper.
That's your new LinkedIn tagline. I did a great job.
I did a great job.
It'll be here lies David Tatera.
Okay.
I did a great job.
I did a great job. You did. You did a great job.
Can you title this podcast, I did a great job?
I did.
I'm not full of myself. I just like to have a little affirmation. I just feel like.
Positive. It's your love language.
Yeah. I need to just know, am I doing okay? Am I doing okay?
David's love language is. Yes, affirmation. And come on, be with me. Call me, text me.
I have to talk to him all the time. I need to hear him. I need to text. I have to call him. He doesn't call me back. Call me. I need to hear your voice. Are you okay?
And it's noon right now. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4 calls. Nope. 5 calls from David by noon.
You're in the same house.
Correct. 5 calls and we're in the same house. And let's go just to text messages real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different text message subjects.
Fine. I'm not going to text you or call you today.
Oh, God.
You say that now, and in 5 minutes, I'll get a text.
No, I'm texting you right now that I'm not going to text you.
Okay, before we wrap up, quick. David, what's the best thing about Joey?
Everything. I think he's a brilliant, beautiful man, and I think he cares deeply about his children and his relationship with me.
God. Okay. Joey, what's the best thing about David?
That he has a big heart and he really does truly care about everyone that he touches and interacts with. Yes, you do.
Thank you.
Oh my God. You two are so cute. this was so nice. I just have a special place in my heart for you both now. And Christy and I, we do this often, but we kind of, when we have people on, like, especially people like you, we feel like you're our best friends now. Can we say that? Can we just tell
you? Yeah, you are.
Yeah, we just.
Okay. We'll come back on again and again.
Yay.
Hopefully we get to meet you in person, Christy, soon.
Yes,
we will.
Yes. I finally got their names right. I was calling them the opposite names. That was making me nuts.
That's all right. Whatever.
I'm sorry.
They're names of a certain age.
Joey, it's okay. Don't worry. It's okay, Joey.
Joey, don't beat yourself up.
I don't. That's where, you know, sometimes age does show on my husband. And
you're doing a great job.
But you're doing a great job.
He's texting you. Oh, geez.
Coming in right now.
All right. We really, really appreciate you being on again. And Joey, you being on for the first time on the podcast. And we look forward to many more. And look, you know, the David Tutera Experience is the website. Is that right?
Experience.davidtutera.
Get. Okay, let's try that again.
Or just go to davidtutera.com. That's the easy way.
Yeah, go to davidtutera.com. It's a good website. I like it. Yeah. And I can't wait to see footage from Rhode Island.
Oh my God. It's epic. Epic. Wait till we share it. Oh my gosh.
And I can't wait to hear more about Jamaica.
Oh, Jamaica is going to be amazing.
That's who we're getting the phone call with now next.
Okay. Oh God, you're late. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend, gentlemen. We'll see you soon.
That's right. Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.